moving along on a Friday morning, getting closer to lunchtime and closer, of course, to the weekend. People are pumped up about that. Weather is going to be nice through the weekend, so whatever your plans are, it should be safely able to include outside those that are out in the fields and well underway with seeding. You should have some good temperatures for that. Hopefully the wind dies down a bit, because we've had a significant amount of wind, which has been playing havoc with some of the wildfires. We've seen some grass fires in the province this morning, lots of different areas, especially in the central and north part of the province, reporting bad visibility because of smoke. And the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency just held a news conference talking about the fact that as of 5 o'clock yesterday, a fire ban was issued for parts of the northern part, the large part of the northern part of the province, is a way to try and control some of the danger that those fires can happen and have on the province. Saskatchewan.ca, a good place to go to find out all the details about fire bans. Earlier this week, you might remember we had Gary Sands on the show. He's with the Canadian Federation of Independent Grocers, and we talked about a variety of things, including a report he referred to, Canada's Food Sentiment Index for 2025. That index comes out of the Agri-Food Analytics Lab at Dalhousie University, which is where our next guest spends a lot of his time, Dr. Sylvain Charlebois. No stranger to our show. We've had him on numerous times to talk food and inflation and what impacts all of us at the grocery store or your favorite restaurant. And today we wanted to get him on to talk about the food report and a few other things. Dr. Sylvain Charlebois, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, my pleasure, Evan. We almost did this segment face-to-face. I was in Saskatchewan.
I heard you. What were you? You were speaking at a conference?
Yeah, I was in Saskatoon about the role of AI in the food industry. Very interesting. I was speaking to businesses. Actually, most of the businesses were not in the food space, but they wanted to know more about what was going on with AI in the food area. So I was able to meet with them and meet with dairy farmers in your province, your lovely province, and had some ice cream as well, and it was all good.
So very quickly, I wasn't planning on talking about AI in the food industry, but can you give us just a sense of how it is being used?
Against us or for us?
I guess the basis of your talk, what did you focus on?
Well, so there's lots of fear out there, right? A lot of consumers are fearful that AI is actually being used against us, and you often hear the term surge pricing instead of dynamic pricing. You see, you set prices almost in real time based on supply and demand. So Let's say, for example, you walk into a grocery store, people want bananas. Well, banana prices will go up. And if nobody wants bananas, prices will drop. AI actually would allow the industry to reduce waste and plan inventory much more strategically and effectively. Mm. And so that's kind of the thing. And of course, farmers out there in Saskatchewan, they've been using AI for a very, very long time. It's just nobody really knew about it. Precision agriculture has been a thing for decades now, and farmers are much smarter in terms of how they treat their soil, how they use fertilizers, herbicides, and things like that, sure. Reducing input costs, and the way to do it is to use AI.
Mm. It's fast. We could do a whole segment on that, and I know you talk about this on, you've got a podcast, co-host of the Food Professor podcast as well. So this is all good discussion and worthy material that we will be able to bring up over the next little while. But today I really wanted to bring you on to talk about the Canadian Food Sentiment Index. This is something that your team at Dalhousie does. What can you tell us just generally about this? What is this report looking to inform us on?
Yeah, so the first edition, of course, you and I spoke about it last October. And so the role here, instead of actually surveying Canadians every now and then on a variety of topics, because with a survey, you basically just take a picture in time. I mean, it will tell you what people are thinking, but you don't really get a sense of how food choices evolve over time, what factors are impacting our choices at the grocery store, at the restaurant. So we created this index last year, and so this is our second edition, and so we wanted to know, like, what are affecting consumers out there, how are they purchasing, and mm-hmm. and how they're seeing risks, and how are news impacting their behavior at the grocery store. So of course, inflation is a big one. It's a huge factor. But the other big factor is buy local. Because of geopolitics, people are drawn towards local products. And I'm sure you talked about it with Gary Sands the other day. I mean, the buy local movement is absolutely real, and people are absolutely just drawn to independent grocers, the group that Gary represents, and local products.
Does the buy local movement have surges at certain times of the year? Like, I'm thinking, of course, with things like produce and stuff, it must kind of wane from time to time, just given the fact that some of this stuff isn't available in Canada at times of the year.
Absolutely. When agriculture, like right now, I was in Saskatchewan, and a lot of farmers out there are seeding, as they're listening to us, probably.
Yep.
and of course, people are thinking about the agriculture in their province. They're thinking about local. So I would say that in the summer, there's an acute sense of local, but what Donald Trump has done is to get the entire world to think differently about food. It's not just in Canada, it's around the world. And that's why a lot of grocers had to pivot. They had to de-Americanize their store as much as possible. And that's why we were seeing more products from abroad. So you can't just think that, well, buy local is great. The non-American sentiment is much more powerful than the buy local movement.
The buy local movement, I think, is awesome. But I am curious to know your thoughts, Sylvain, on does it work compatibly, like in a compatible way with the affordability issue? Because in some cases, buying local isn't always cost efficient. We see that happen from time to time. So how do those two things play with one another?
Well, first of all, I think consumers are smarter. They actually look at prices. 10 years ago, not everyone actually was looking at prices. I do think that that affordability is an issue. Not everything that's local is more expensive. Some stuff is actually cheaper, but not always. I think your listeners would know that that sometimes local is not less expensive. But I do think that food inflation is the enemy here, I would say, because, remember when we came out of COVID? When we came out of COVID, everyone was talking about local.
Right.
Until Ukraine. When Ukraine was invaded illegally by Russia, food inflation became a problem, and everyone went back to their budget. And so I think we're looking at something like this again this time around, but not as bad. I do think it, because the number one reason that's pushing people to think local is on television every single night. And that reason is Donald Trump. So I think it's going to last a while, but it's starting to fade. If you talk to grocers, it's starting to fade already. And my guess is that we're probably going to go back to normal at some point, and grocers will start sourcing food products that are the cheapest as possible to keep costs down for all of us.
Dr. Sylvain Charlebois is my guest, food distribution and policy professor at Dalhousie University, senior director of the Agri-Food Analytics Lab. In the report, does it break it down between generations? I'm curious to know when it comes to trends like shopping local, do you see it through all generation bands?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's interesting. Boomers want to buy local, and they have the means. The younger generations do want to buy local, but they do not have the means. and so they're obviously pushed to buy the cheapest products as possible. And that's why we're seeing Canadian products at the grocery store, but we're seeing products from Peru, South Africa, more products from Mexico, because the younger generations know that they can't always buy local. They need affordable options out there.
One other thing that I wanted to highlight, Sylvain, while I have you, about this report was this notion that trust in food institutions is rising, predominantly for independent grocers. What's driving that?
Well, I know I spoke to Gary Sands about that, and he was pretty pleased with the report, obviously, because of that reason. You see, Evan, I mean, I do believe that most people listening to us may not even know what an independent grocer is. I mean, we go and shop and buy at Costco, Walmart, and of course, different stores that are Sobeys operated or Loblaw operated, like the Atlantic, not the Atlantic Superstore, but the superstores that you have out there. But nobody really thinks about the independents. And the independents are really critical because they are the ones offering different products, unique products, and sometimes local products. But they've actually increased in trust. Consumers' trust has actually gone up, way up for everyone, but in particular, independent grocers, probably because of the Buy Local movement.
For sure. Dr. Sylvain Charlebois is my guest. We're almost out of time, but I saw something very concerning online last week. You got a new job? You're not leaving us, are you, Sylvain?
No, I'm not leaving. I'm seconded to Texas A&M at College Station in Texas. I got the call last fall and said no. They wanted a director for their graduate programs in agribusiness, and then they called again and they asked me to join them for a year, and I accepted. So I'm looking forward to join the largest agribusiness school in the world. It's a top-ranked program in America, third in the world. And Texas A&M is a globally known institution, so I'm quite honored to have actually been given this opportunity by the people in College Station.
It's outstanding. What will you take there from the work that you do in Canada that will help inform them, maybe from a different vantage point that they don't currently have?
Scalability. I mean, Evan, Texas agri-food sector is six times the size of Canada's.
Wow.
I mean, it's just everything is out of bounds there compared to what we're going through. And so I'm going there to learn. Mm-hmm. I'm going there. I am going to be leading their programs, but I want to go out there and learn as much as possible so I become a better Canadian academic. But I will rest assured, continue to pay taxes in Canada. I will remain a Canadian, unlike other people we all know.
You just
got elected.
Oh, that was a good one to slide in at the end there. So you're just on loan. You're just on loan.
I'm on loan. That's right. So okay. I have a 1 year contract, and we'll see what happens next. I've taught there already a few times, so I know the people there. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever been, I don't know if you've ever been to Texas, but people in Texas are incredibly nice.
I have been to Texas a couple of times, but I've been to Dallas, and some people say that's not true Texas.
That's true. So College Station is in between Dallas, Austin, and Houston.
Okay.
And it has its own airport, which is why I accepted the role so I can fly back to Canada once in a while.
Okay. Selfishly, my last question, does this mean we won't talk to you for a year, or can we still sneak you on the show?
Oh, no. Absolutely. Please call back. I'm still going to write my op-eds for Post Media, for La Presse. Absolutely. I want to talk to you. I want to really.
Saskatchewan people need to keep hearing from you, Doc.
Absolutely. And I think I'm flying back to Saskatchewan in the fall, even though I'm in College Station. So absolutely.
Okay.
Of course.
Good stuff. Well, thanks for the time today, Sylvain. We appreciate having you on the show.
Take care. Have a good weekend.
Dr. Sylvain Charlebois, food distribution and policy professor at Dalhousie University. He's the co-host of the Food Professor podcast. And starting a new temporary gig down in Texas for a year as well. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.